Welcome to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We hope that you will be encouraged and challenged today as you listen to a message from one of our speakers. Prepare your heart and get ready to receive a word from God today.
All right, how many people, Pastor Clint talked about earlier, how many people made resolutions, be honest, for this year? Okay, a couple. How many of you have broken those already? One. How many will break one before my talk is done tonight? No. It's an interesting time of year, isn't it? And I would imagine that churches across the United States are talking about launching into a new year and resolutions, and we're not going to talk about that tonight. What we're going to talk about tonight is committing things to prayer. I can't think of a better time during the year, however you plan your year, whether it's through resolutions, whether it's through, I've done this once where you think of a word, you pray for a word for the upcoming year. Anybody ever do that, right? A couple of you have done that. And I can't think of a better way to start off a year than to talk about prayer. It might sound a little odd, but that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I'm the pastor of prayer ministries here, so I jumped at the chance to do this talk tonight. And first of all, I want to lay a groundwork. I am not super prayer person with my prayer cape, right? There are people, I'm sure, who pray more than I do. And if you look at my family on any given night, you're probably not going to find us on our knees at 8:30 by the fire praying. We all have different prayer styles. But one thing that we do at the Huffman House is we try to make sure that we know that prayer is a priority, that God calls us to communicate with him. What I want to share tonight is, instead of this teaching, what I wanted to share is an honest conversation about prayer. Because in my life, I don't know about yours, prayer wasn't something that came easy. People, it's interesting when you ask people in church, hey, can you give me advice on this, that, or the other? Yeah, just pray about it. What does that mean? When God says pray continually, really? I struggled with that. And so tonight, I want to go through my journey of a couple of hurdles related to prayer. Because really, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I wish someone would have sat down and said, hey, man, this is what prayer is. This is how it can be done. This is why you want to do it. Because I spent years fiddling around with what prayer is not. And I wasted a bunch of time. Now, that's not to discount the prayer journey that I had. How many people, when they have dinner, say the same prayer every night? Raise your hand. That's an okay thing. When I grew up at my house, we said a prayer. Let's see if I can remember it. God is great, God is good, and we thank you for his food. Amen. How many have heard that one? Yeah, right? So it sounds silly, but the fun thing about that prayer is I looked back on it, it reminded me every night that there was a God, and somehow it was linked to me getting food. It's not a bad thing, but that's how my prayer journey started. And then in my 20s, in my early 20s and mid-20s, my prayer life went from sort of that to crying out to God during tragedies. Asking him why. What is going on? And then my prayer life moved to a more religious prayer life, where it was praying what was prayed in church and praying specific prayers, and it really didn't have that connection. And then when we started Project Warm, the homeless ministry you heard about a little bit earlier, that rocked my prayer life. Because I realized that there were people that the only thing that could help them out was God and prayer. And so I saw God do amazing things. And so now I will pray for absolutely anything. For as long as you want, I'll pray. And that was my journey from praying as a kid, God is great, God is good, to now. Prayer is a conversation with God, a conversation with the Creator. He's looking to have a conversation with us. I want to share this scripture. It's in Ezekiel chapter 22 in the Old Testament. God is looking down at Jerusalem, and he's upset. And he says this thing. He says, "And I, God, searched for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. God was looking for two things. God was looking at that time to not only do some action, maybe build a wall, build what, but he was also, post this and, if you look at the and, he's looking for somebody to stand in the gap during situations. He's looking down right now in your situation, in your life, and he's wondering, will someone in this situation stand in the gap and have a conversation with me about it? God's looking for people to stand in that gap, to pull out the tool he gave us with prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer has started revivals. Prayer has changed nations. Prayer has changed people. Prayer has changed me. Prayer needs to be a foundation on anything we're trying to accomplish. Anything. So at the beginning of the year, when we think about all the things that we want to try to accomplish in front of us in 2016, I cannot think of a better thing to talk about than prayer. And I want to focus on a simple parable that Jesus shared about prayer. It's in the book of Luke. You can grab a Bible or use your smartphone, or we'll have the verse here behind me. It's Luke chapter 18. Jesus shares this. He says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" Jesus' simple teaching in one sentence, that first sentence, we should always pray and not give up. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. Before I jump into my hurdles that I had to overcome with always praying and not giving up, let me pray. God, I thank you that you give us the opportunity just to have a conversation with you. That it doesn't need to be all flowery, and it you just want to have a conversation, God. So today, as we dive into what that really means, I want your words, God, and your thoughts to be my thoughts and my words. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Should have gotten a program. And point number one, you can write this down. We should always be praying. That's the first thing Jesus said in that first sentence. We should always be praying. Can I say that there was a time in my life that I did not understand that? Frankly, I had no idea what it meant. Pray without ceasing. It's another verse in the Bible. Really? I'm a task-oriented guy. If you have a prayer list, I can knock it out in about 5 minutes. Right? And so I've struggled with this pray always. Yet when I look at Jesus, Jesus goes off in the middle of the night and prays all night. He can do it. Look at the disciples. There were some praying people there. But my first hurdle in this always praying thought was this. Why would I pray to a God who already knew what the outcome of everything was going to be? Why would I spend that much time asking him questions, not about the big stuff, but about the little stuff, when he already knew it? Why would I do that? That's exactly what he calls us to do. He calls us to ask and talk to him. James 4. You want something, but don't get it. You'll kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. that many spend what you get in your pleasures. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find it. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Even though God knows the outcome, he's telling us to ask, to talk to him, to bring stuff up. It's a partnership with God. He wants us to stand in the gap for stuff. It's crazy, but that's what he asks us to do. In 2001, my second son, the really tall one, John, he was a year old, and he was diagnosed with having a growth on his adrenal gland, which is right above the kidney. And so the physician kept looking at it, and he referred us off to a specialist, and we would check up with a specialist. Well, this one checkup with a specialist, we had another test done. Specialist came in, and he said, hey, the growth has expanded, and we need to take it out. We need to take that adrenal gland out. That's shocking news to a parent. But in my brain, I was thinking, okay, all right, take it out. We're okay. We'll schedule it in a couple of weeks. The words that came out of his mouth, I was not prepared for. He said, no, we need to take it out today because likely it's cancerous. My son was one. Talk about prayer. That causes a person to pray. So he had a successful surgery. It came out. But then we had 3 days of waiting while they ran tests to see if the cancer had spread. That'll make you pray. And we got great news back that the cancer hadn't spread and he's not had any problems since. Around the same time, Ann and I, my wife and I, learned we were pregnant. She was pregnant, I wasn't. Good thing she's not here tonight because she would remind me about that one. So pregnant, and we learned that it was a daughter. We had a girl. We were so excited, and what we did is we made sure that the same adrenal issue wasn't going to be a problem, so we went for an ultrasound and learned that it wasn't a problem, but there was another issue. The baby had a genetic defect, something that needed to be corrected immediately upon birth. So we scheduled, we had known this really early in the pregnancy, and so we scheduled the birth in Indianapolis. The baby was born, and for 17 days fought after surgery for her life. That'll make you pray. But after 17 days, she lost her battle. We had to bury our daughter. Terrible. During this mess, I fought with God. Continually fought with God, yelling out to him, why? But through this, I saw the importance of prayer. Not only did I yell out to God, but God was the only one that I could have a conversation with about the stuff that was going on in my head. The only person that I could yell, who else could I yell at? The physicians? No, they were doing an amazing job. My wife? No. He was the only one that I could yell and scream at. But he was also the only one that I found comfort in during that time. I realized during that time why we should pray. The second hurdle I had with prayer was recognizing what to pray for. It sounds a little challenging, but when there's tragedy going on in your life, what to pray for comes pretty easy. Pray for the tragedy. Pray for what's going on in your life. Or if I asked everyone in here, what are 3 things that you need to pray for, you could probably rip those off. But when you're talking about praying always, after about 10 minutes, what do you pray for? That was a struggle of mine. Jesus talks about being a partner in prayer, this ongoing discussion. This partnership comes up in John 15:5. It says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now that last sentence, quoted a lot, is a great sentence. I get that. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So we can ask and it'll be done. The first part is a little odd, at least to me, maybe not you. Whoever remains in me. What does that mean? So I looked at a different version, the New King James Version. It says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me. Whoever abides in me. The great thing about that word abides, when I looked it up, and I think I've got the, yeah, primary verbs, to stay in, to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. Dwell, endure, be present, remain. I think what Jesus is telling us is you can ask, that's awesome, but there's this abiding thing where you need to hang out with me. You need to have a relationship with me outside of the top three things you want to talk to me about. You need to dwell with God. Can I just say, at least for a guy, that can be tough, right? Can I be real? For me, that was difficult. And so what I did is I took a playbook from Ann Huffman, my wife. Years ago, Ann would go away for a weekend, and she would talk to God. And she'd come back, and she would be energized. So a number of years ago, I did the same thing. I scheduled time away, went to a state park, went to an inn. Have you ever been to the inns? Those things are beautiful, beautiful. So I stay there for 2 days. Took a Bible and a journal, no agenda. And I just walked and talked to God. Just had a conversation about life. Just like I would a best friend, a good father. So here's a couple of pictures of what it looks like. The two on the left are from state parks. So I've done this for a while now. But it gets difficult to get away. And so instead of getting away for a couple of days now, what I do twice a month, and I would challenge you to do this, twice a month, I take 5 hours, 6 hours, and I'll go someplace in town. I won't tell anybody where I'm going, but I take my Bible and my journal, and I just go hang out with God. So this picture on the right is the downtown Marriott. We had our Christmas party there, right? And I hung out with God down there for 5 hours. It sounds crazy, but in those times, when you're sitting there with God, when you don't have anything to say and you get bored after the first 45 minutes, you're like, okay, this is dumb. And then you're like, you start talking to God. Start talking about my three boys, my wife, my parents, struggles. Those times alone with God have been transformational in my prayer life, have created a relationship with God that is incredible. It's taught me what to pray. The third hurdle I had to get over with prayer is how to approach my prayers with faith. If you read the Bible like I do, the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us to pray with faith. Pray and expect that something is going to happen. At the end of the parable we read, Jesus asks his disciples that if he came back, is he going to find people who have faith for what they prayed for? And it wasn't really, if I'm honest, it wasn't really until we opened Project Warm that I prayed with faith. At Project Warm, I get to pray with a bunch of people down there. And those guys, I love them, but there's some issues. I've prayed for crazy things. I've prayed for a deaf ear to open. I've prayed for relationships to be restored. Crazy things. A couple of years ago, a guy came in, and this was 2 years ago. He came in, he was super nice. He came up to me, and he said that he couldn't smell. Had problems with his nose. He could smell all the way up through his 20s, couldn't smell anymore. He said two things about that. First was, it's dangerous. I didn't know it was dangerous. What do you mean? He can't smell smoke, and he can't smell when something's hot. So it's dangerous. He said the second thing that he missed was the smell of coffee in the morning. I love coffee, and so I related immediately. So I said, you know what? Here's what I think. The enemy, Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God did not cause that. The enemy did. That's what it says in the Bible. I'm going to pray for it. Sure. So I went after that nose, right? I prayed for that thing. I was so filled with faith that I went over to the Project Warm storeroom. I grabbed a can of Folgers, a new can. I went back and I was like, all right, can you smell it? Nope. Couldn't smell it. I'm like, all right, will you let me pray one more time? Yep. Prayed again. Can you smell? Nope. Still couldn't smell it. All right. So I told him that God still loved him, and it was a mystery why sometimes God answers prayer, sometimes he doesn't. We left on good terms. A couple weeks later, he shows back up. I see him down the hall. He's all excited, and he comes rushing over to me. He can smell coffee. 2 weeks later, he can smell coffee. It's awesome. I've seen enough at Project Warm, and I've seen enough people who God is their only resort to pray with faith. Have you ever looked at, I think it's fascinating, have you ever looked at how the disciples or even Jesus pray for things? Have you looked at that? I want to look at Acts 3. Peter heals the lame beggar. So Peter sees this lame beggar asking for money, and his response to prayer is this. Peter said, "Silver or gold I don't have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. How many words in that prayer? One. Walk. In the name of Jesus, walk. It wasn't eloquent. It wasn't filled with religious words. It wasn't a whole bunch of... It was walk. There was faith in that. I want you to write something down. I think on your handout it says Vineyard's 5-step prayer model. I love that there's this model that mimics what happens in the Bible that we teach here. And so I just want to go through it really quick because I think it's instructive not only for what Peter did, but also the guy that smelled or couldn't smell. So here, if you ever run into somebody that needs prayer, do me a favor. Don't say, okay, I'll pray for that, and then walk off and pray for it in the evening. Pray now, like right now. Because if you're me, I forget, right? I shudder to think the amount of times that I've said, yeah, I'll pray for that. Didn't pray, forgot about it. I'll probably have to answer for a lot of that when I get up in heaven. So here, I want you to write these things down, and I want you to think in your head about the guy who couldn't smell. So the first thing we do is we interview. We interview. How can I pray for you? Can I pray for your nose? Seems pretty easy, right? The second thing, we diagnose. We diagnose. So this is a question that I like to ask. How did it happen? What happened? And that might give you a clue as to what to pray for. And the third thing is pray. And here we want to pray with command. Just like we saw with the lame beggar. See, in my life, I've done this a ton, and maybe you've seen this. Now I call it circling the drain. When you pray for somebody, God, thank you for the person. Thank you for bringing him to me. Thank you for being a blessing. Those are all good things, but the guy can't smell. Can we pray for his nose? Right? So in Jesus' name, nose be healed. How about that? Simple. The next is assessment. Assessment. This takes faith. This is after you get done in Jesus' name, nose be healed. Ask him, how's the nose? Can you smell? It takes a lot of faith to ask that question. But you also see God show up in amazing ways when you ask that question. Number five is follow up. Let's pray again if necessary. Not every time do things happen when you pray for somebody. Tell them God loves them. It's a mystery. I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know why he answers sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't. It says in the Bible that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God doesn't. So he loves you. Just keep praying for it. Keep going after it. Those were the major hurdles in my life of figuring out how to pray, why we should pray, what we should pray for, and praying with faith. Now I believe we should always pray. Second part of that parable, and you can write this down, that we read earlier. God doesn't get tired. We should never stop praying. There's things that aren't miraculously healed or made right the second after we pray. In Mark, there's a story of Jesus praying for a blind man. I think he actually spits in the mud. I've not done that. But he actually spits in the mud, sticks it on the guy's eyes, and he asks the guy, hey, can you see now? Interesting question. And the guy says, I can see, but people look like trees. So I think he spits in the mud again, does the same thing, and then the guy's eyesight is restored. I don't think that Jesus missed it on his first prayer. What I think happened is Jesus modeled what we should be doing and not giving up. And asking, hey, how is that? Going after it again. There's a story of Jesus praying for lepers, a group of lepers. When he prayed for them, the lepers were not healed in front of him. They were healed along the way as they went. I don't know God's timing. There's a ton of examples of prayers that are given in the Bible that were never answered. Moses, Job, Jonah, Elijah, they all prayed to die. Glad those weren't answered. Jeremiah prayed that Jerusalem wouldn't be destroyed. It was. King David prayed that his son wouldn't die. He did. I don't know. It's a mystery. We get access to the kingdom now. When we pray, things happen now. But it's not heaven. This is not heaven. And so not everything happens. It's not a perfect world. God gets to choose when to intervene. God gets to choose when not to intervene. I'm not God. You're not God. But when I read the Bible, when I listen to Jesus, he says, pray and don't give up. Time and time again. So I want to keep praying and never give up because that's what he tells us to do. God wants us to stand in the gap of situations, to partner with us. I've heard it said that prayer is like laying a foundation, laying a road in front of you that you get to walk on later. So if you looked and you were honest and you looked at the road in front of you right now, how does that look? So here's your challenge. It's a new year. God has clearly told us, pray always. And never give up, no matter what it is. So I want to challenge you to pray. To journal, it may not seem manly. Journal. Write those prayers out. To go back and look at how God answers prayer is incredible. Spend time with God. A lot of time. Hours. It's going to feel, I use this word, it's going to feel wonky. You ever heard that word? It's going to feel wonky for a while. But what happens in those times is a great relationship with God. There's no better thing to do than to build that road that you get to walk on with God later. So why don't you stand and we'll close. As I was thinking about the message this evening, a couple of things came to mind. First of all, there's a workshop in January. I think it's the 7th. It's on your handout. on how to pray for other people. It's an hour and a half, and it's free, and I'm teaching it. Excuse me. And it's, I think it's a, not just because I'm teaching it, I think it's a wonderful class that answers a ton of questions of why you should pray for people and actually how to do it. We've touched on a couple of things, but I'd love to get 100 people in that class. The other thing I thought is there may be people in here that prayer, you know you should do it, but you struggle with it. And I want to pray with those people down in the corner. Just a quick, simple prayer. So you can start moving now. If prayer is a struggle for you and you don't want it to be, and as you look forward, as you look forward on the road of prayer that you should be laying down, and it doesn't look really good right now and you want it to look better, I'll pray for you over here. The other thing, in the same group, if you are a praying person and you realize the importance of prayer, but you want to doubling up, you want to go even deeper, I want to pray for that same thing. So you can go ahead and move now as I close over here in the corner. All right, let me pray. God, I thank you for your words that you want people to stand in the gap. Because there are a lot of gaps in our life. So God, give us the courage to do that. Pray that as we go this week and connect with you on a new year, that everything we have in mind that we want to do, God, we give it to you first. Because we can do nothing without you. We will toil and we will spin our wheels without you. We need you. Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We pray that you were impacted by this message. God bless and see you next time.